This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
In a low-income black and brown community, I see every single day that this economy is not working for average Americans. The indicators that are being used, from GDP to Wall Street's rankings, is not helping people in my community.
All right, so that was Cory Booker talking about the economy not working. It was a crowded house. Obviously, they broke up all the Democratic candidates between a couple of nights. Pretty interesting what was hit upon. We're going to talk about it here, obviously, Kate Delaney. And I think there was more consensus than disagreement, frankly, with the Democrats. They stepped on each other a little bit as they tried to get their points in. Then you had Rachel Maddow trying to break it up because she was part of the second half of the debate team with Chuck Todd. But the first debate definitely, to me, clearly said that there was a lot of agreement among the Democrats, and the conversation turned to guns, it turned to the border, it turned to Iran, the economy, impeaching the president. It was basically the poo-poo platter of all the issues that are going on in Washington. Someone who knows all about D.C. because he spends so much time there would be the former congressman from Ohio, Bob Ney, with Talk Media News. Bob, what did you think? I mean, I think they really mostly agreed, and they just tried every once in a while. It was like someone poked him and said, you've got to be aggressive and kind of jump on that point. But I didn't see a lot of disagreement.
Well, Kate, first of all, across this nation, you've got the best line, the poo-poo platter. So that I'm going to use that tomorrow in my analysis. That's the best line. And I must say, Elizabeth Warren emerged as strong. You know, she was the one here that, you know, had the most to lose. Because one thing I think was through my mind tonight is, okay, I really want to see tomorrow night because there's, you know, a lot of higher names there. But tonight was good, and I agree with you. There was more agreement than there was disagreement. Now you had Juan Castro going after Beto O'Rourke. That was kind of a Texas thing also, you know, about the border and whether you come across as a misdemeanor charge or as being illegal or not. But overall, now Medicare for All, that was kind of interesting because that was a little bit politically messy. You know, the candidates all like to vow their support for it. But if you looked at this debate tonight, it showed how different the approaches were. The zinger question that was asked is, you know, would you do away with private insurance? And two hands went up, Elizabeth Warren and Mayor Bill de Blasio. And that's very interesting. So they kind of all support Medicare for All, but they didn't support it when it came to, you know, would you actually do away with the, you know, with the private insurance company. I think breaking away from the entire pack was tough tonight. I'm not sure there were any aha viral moments, although, you know, Castro, I think, had some good lines. We all know now Beto O'Rourke can speak Spanish. We all know that. That was an evident one. And I say that in a little bit of a sarcastic way because I think there was, in a way, a little bit of pandering that sort of just didn't come off the way maybe the candidate wanted it to.
Oh, no, I totally agree. It's like they had lessons on Duolingo, and when they were flying to the debate in Florida, that everybody was going to practice their Spanish. Mi amo is Julian Castro y blah, blah, blah. And I'm not making fun of Castro because I know he's fluent in Spanish, but they were using that as a one-up thing because you could see it across the board.
Yeah, I speak Farsi, so it wouldn't come across during the debate. But I must say, you know, I appreciate they speak Spanish and things, but it just, the way it was done, especially with Beto, I don't know, just didn't come off as the big moment.
I agree, and I think we have these, Kyle, if we could throw to these, we have Julian Castro and Elizabeth Warren both talking about guns. Here was their take.
In the Senate, the question often is, if the decision is between 60 votes, a filibuster, or passing common sense gun reform, I'm going to choose common sense gun reform. So I believe that we're going to be able to get that done in 2021.
2021. Just dying mass shootings. They'll die on sidewalks. They'll die in playgrounds. They'll die in people's backyards. Gun violence is a national health emergency in this country.
All right, so here's the thing, especially Elizabeth Warren, as you said, she had the most to lose, but she kind of evaded the question because the question that was asked, that Chuck Todd asked, was, okay, so let's say you have these tougher gun laws. What do you do about all these people that have guns in America? Meaning, would you, you know, the whole buyback thing? He didn't say that, but how do you get the guns back when they're already out there? And pretty much that was just glossed over. And of course, we all agree we don't want to have kids gunned down, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, by guns. So that was kind of a throwaway.
Well, it was. And, you know, there was some caution here tonight. I didn't see, you know, exception of some candidates, but I think with Elizabeth Warren I'm referring, there was some caution here tonight, too. I mean, she stated out front, you know, where she stands on some things. There was still some caution. I think that Beto O'Rourke, not to go back and pick on him, but he had a chance to kind of define himself tonight because he's being accused of not being specific, just throwing out the one-line zingers that make you feel good, and he didn't rise to the occasion to be more specific. I think they were all also a little sort of caught off guard about what they would do with Donald Trump afterwards, you know? That was
a
good question. What would they do? I thought they were caught a little off guard on that.
Yeah, I totally agree. And then the one thing that definitely really happened was I thought Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard, who of course served, talked about Afghanistan. I talked about that the other day, that two servicemen were killed. We've lost way too many. In my opinion, get out, the whole thing. And Tim Ryan didn't agree, but he made a mistake. He kept saying that the Taliban committed the September 11th terrorist attack. So she came back on him on that, but that was just a mistake. And that was pretty interesting because there's always heavy debate on, do you stay in Afghanistan because we're already invested in it, or do you get out of there? And that's a good question to ask you. If you had a vote, what would you do?
In Afghanistan?
Yeah.
I supported the invasion, and I think we rebuilt ourselves militarily and civilly over there, which is what we needed to do. I still think we need to be there for support of the government to take care of itself and be independent. I think we need some of that. We can't continue to, you know, try to run Afghanistan. That doesn't work. But I think we could be more more building of their infrastructure so that they can be more independent on their own. So we have to have some involvement, but not as direct troops fighting.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's just way too many guys that are over there, too many troops that are over there in that situation. And it's not about the whole rebuilding thing. So this is the first Democratic debate of huge range. Like I said, the poo-poo platter of everything, crowded fields. And then we go into the next day. And I'm really curious about, of course, Biden, Sanders. I think that that's going to pique more interest, frankly. What do you think?
It is, Kate, and it's going to be a big look. This was, again, Elizabeth Warren overall won tonight because she didn't mess up. A couple of people excelled a little bit, you know, to get in the highlight, but tomorrow night is a dangerous night because they've got more top people just by the random draw there. You got, you know, Biden and Sanders and you know, some other candidates there, but tomorrow night could be a big loss for somebody if they make a big mistake.
I absolutely agree. And that's the key, if they make a big mistake. Interesting. All right, Bob Ney, thank you so much. We'll talk to you again.
Thank you.
All right, just to put a stamp on that whole Spanish thing, Beto O'Rourke tweeted out, "Necesitamos incluir a todos en esta economía." And he was talking about, obviously, using his Spanish, that the economy is not representative of everyone in the United States. A big block of Spanish voters. Stay with us.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains contains the polypeptides from 6 different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal Hair Care System is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, the Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's DrinkSuperTea.com, 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play with
you. Hey, we have a big debate going on. Just started, and I had my choice between you and them, and I chose you.
On January 20th, 2021, we'll say adios to Donald Trump.
All right, Julian Castro there saying adios to Trump, referring to the Democrats taking over and that he wouldn't win, obviously. It was the big Democratic debate, which had to be split up because of the amount of Democrats, the Hollywood Squares version of I'm running, you're running, and so are they across the hall. So it's pretty interesting. Kate Delaney, and here we are on the show talking about politics, and this time next year it'll be a whole different ballgame because then there will be one against the president, and we'll see who that one is. We could speculate all day long right now. Polling-wise, Joe Biden, who's up next on Thursday night with another group of Democrats. It'll be interesting to see what he has to say. It's going to be the same kinds of topics about the border, Iran, the situation with health care, all the things that we wrestle with that I say you care about in your backyard and mine. Who was the big loser? Who was the big winner of the evening? That becomes interesting. I think that Julian Castro did fine. He held his own, and he would have come out of this looking pretty good. One guy who didn't look as good is, and somebody who, when he's a soundbite and he's by himself and he's in his crowd, comes off pretty good. But I would say O'Rourke didn't come off as good. So if I were handicapping this and I were a pollster like Frank Luntz, the big pollster dude who's made a ton of money and a big name in the gig of looking at the debates, looking at people, and taking the pulse, so to speak, of what happened, I bet he would agree with me, because I think Congressman Beto O'Rourke just didn't come off looking great. He was kind of tepid, and he just wasn't very effective when he, you know, he spoke to even, he talked about his daughter and about that he cared about kids in the future, but it just, they were more just like one-liners, talking points, I guess. And Cory Booker, the senator from New Jersey, he probably did okay when he was debating. He was forceful. He spoke about things that people in the audience and Democrats would care about. He was pretty powerful in the way he said his words, that kind of thing. So I would say that he probably came off the best. But one thing that did happen a lot, and I watched the whole thing, is there were times where you couldn't even understand what someone was saying. It was like the radio no-no when you have a giant radio crew and people are talking over each other and you can't understand what they said. You're laughing. You're driving to work, almost driving off the road. You're in the middle of their bit. You get it. And then all of a sudden, somehow they lose it because everybody's talking at once. And this is what happened a couple of times, talking over each other because you can't hear them. And so some of the exchanges were lame. And O'Rourke got caught up in a couple of those. So that didn't happen. That didn't help him, and I think that made him ineffective. So if I was going to pick somebody who didn't come off as well and was, if I'm going to tag him as the loser, I think he would have been the loser in the debate. If you're listening, I don't care if you're right of right, left of left, somewhere in between, you want to weigh in on half of the Hollywood squares that went off in the Democrats, you certainly can do that. 855-266-5283. 855-266-5283. Some of you already have fling the email my way, so to speak, so when we go into the mailbag, I'll jump into that. And then you also had some people that you had no idea who they were, right? And this is part of the problem because there's so many. I mean, the former U.S. Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, Julian Castro, a lot of people know him or have seen his face, that kind of thing. Whereas you have others that just, they're just not known. Governor Jay Inslee, I think he came off well on his point. His whole point is about climate change, so that's it. The one thing. He focuses on that. Boom, that's it. And he called himself the only candidate who's passed a law protecting a woman's right to reproductive health, too. And the couple of times he jumped in, and he was pretty strong. But as many of you know, listening to us in Washington, who may like him, might not like him, depending on your point of view, he's not the big money guy, so he's not the one stepping into this ring. I mean, I think it'd be shocking if he emerged because you've got Biden and Sanders and the polling matters, and that's the same with the New York mayor, Bill de Blasio. He said that the upcoming election is a battle for the heart and soul of our party. He said it's supposed to be the party of working people. There's plenty of money in this country. It's just in the wrong hands. So there were a couple of references about money and rich people and the elite and the White House and, you know, that kind of thing. But the debate rules were pretty interesting. The debate started at 9 o'clock Eastern. It aired on NBC, MSNBC, and Telemundo. So they had 60 seconds to answer questions. They certainly bled over 30 seconds to respond. Like I said, there was some stepping over each other that certainly happened. So you had on the stage, to be clear, Bill de Blasio. You had Congressman Tim Ryan from Ohio, former Obama HUD secretary. I mentioned Julian Castro from Texas, Senator Cory Booker from New Jersey, Senator Elizabeth Warren from Massachusetts, former Congressman Beto O'Rourke from Texas, Senator Amy Klobuchar from Minnesota, Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard from Hawaii, Inslee of Washington, and then former Congressman John Delaney, no relation to me, by the way, from Maryland. A couple of times he tried to jump in, maybe like, wait a second, you're going to like it, John, we're going to you. So it's pretty interesting, and Thursday will be interesting. But remember, incumbency rules in the three last, if we go back to the three previous presidents, they've all had two terms. So what are the odds that this president won't be that president, right? What are the odds of that? By the way, the Republicans around the president are telling him, just stay out of this whole Democratic thing. You don't have to weigh in on it. Who cares? Republican strategists are saying, just rise above the fray of whatever is going on. Don't get engaged in it, as the 10 Democrats climbed on the stage on Wednesday for this first presidential debate. He was halfway around the world. He's going to the G20 summit in Japan. And then the next debate, he'll be meeting with world leaders to talk about Iran, North Korea, global trade, and several other issues that are on the agenda, too. So this Miami debate, that the first one kicking off, both nights are in Miami, you know, shows the crowded field of Democrats trying to take on the president. But the president's record and his style certainly hangs out there in the balance, and they're gearing up to counter whatever the Democratic hit is, whatever the broadsides are, so to speak. But not now, not at the G20 summit, although there may be something, you know, tweeted out. Because Trump said last week, he told Fox News that he is considering tweeting during the debates, but House aides didn't respond to questions about whether he would watch the debates. And, of course, again, you're on the plane and that whole thing. So here we go. Game on. Although, if you remember, the last time around in 2016, if you go back to 2016, he had a lot of things he tweeted out, but really one that stood out. He said, get rid of all these commercials, hashtag Democrat debate. He complained about the number of commercials. So, there you go. You can bet RNC folks, though, we're watching, monitoring, looking at the commentary, looking at what the responses were, all that stuff, because that's what you would do if you're in that role, looking at what the issues are and the things, you know, what the counterattack, I guess, would be. And it's the obvious issues and some that aren't quite as obvious, I guess. But, of course, the border and Iran, what we're looking at right now, and especially with the border, because the Democrats are trying to own the sympathy, certainly, side of that. And so that was brought up in specific names of people, or can you imagine families and the separation? And that was said a couple of different ways and a couple of different times. I'm not surprised about that, trying to connect to the horrible side, like the photograph that was seen all over the world the other day, where you had a father, or you could tell it was a man and looked like his son, where they were face down in the water and dead from coming over, trying to cross the border. And I think that was an issue that was definitely played up. No question about that. All right, coming up, as I mentioned, several of you jumped right on the internet to send me your email, your thoughts, the virtual mail. We're going to the mailbag. Coming up next.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women. Here's a clip from the Rachel Ray Show testing the results of Instantly Ageless.
Board certified dermatologist Dr. Whitney Bowe.
If you're looking to try to trim back the cloth on a budget, you know, in the privacy of your own home, but actually there's some recent technologies emerging, almost like changes the behavior of the skin while it sits on the skin.
She went off to try a product called Instantly Ageless.
Yeah.
Instantly, you could see a difference. Even the cameraman were like, wow, look at the difference.
Yeah.
But I would definitely use this product. Yeah.
This product, within minutes of applying it, it was actually a very dramatic rejuvenation.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
You USA Radio News with John Hunt.
At the first debate of the 2020 Democratic presidential primary, Senator Elizabeth Warren said corruption, plain and simple, is preventing millions of Americans from benefiting from the robust economy. Pressed about her desire to enact sweeping economic reforms, Warren said it's necessary, even though the economy is growing under President Donald Trump, because she said the status quo is helping wealthy and corporations, but not average people. Other candidates agreed the economy is not working for many Americans. Senator Amy Klobuchar from Minnesota said Trump is gloating in the White House, while former Texas Representative Beto O'Rourke switched into Spanish to speak about inequalities and then turned to English to slam the rigged economy that he said helps the wealthy and corporations. This debate is the first chance for many Americans to get to see the largest and most diverse presidential primary field in history. This is USA Radio News.
Today, business happens here, here, and virtually anywhere. Because today, innovative companies are reinventing the way business happens. And they need people who can keep up. With the expertise and technology to get packages to over 150 million delivery points. So, who can help you deliver the future of commerce? The United States Postal Service. See why we deliver more e-commerce packages to homes than anyone at usps.com/future.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now, before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290, 800-965-1290.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
You have mail, mistress.
What? Dig in the mailbag.
Sweet. She can call me mistress anytime. Yeah, tons of mail. A lot of it always pouring in. Isn't it funny? I know I say this all the time, but hats off to all of you for being such a responsive audience when it comes to the idea of mail. Look, I've been on the air in New York. I've been on the air in Dallas. I've been on the air in a lot of super big places where I just did a show, not a syndicated show. And the one thing that is so, I guess impressive, I'll say that word, is what a thoughtful crew you are. No matter which way you're zigging or zagging or what you're talking about, I really believe, like, a lot of you are listening to what we're talking about, and then some of the guests, and you're thinking about it, and then you respond. So, bravo. And this time, you're pretty quick jumping on after the debate. Couple of things. I want to give a big shout-out before we dive into the mailbag to WGCH 1490 AM. Thank you, Bob Small. He's got a station in at, that's in Stamford, Connecticut. Boy, I used to hang there once in a while. There's some good peeps up there. I think I had my best cup of coffee that wasn't a Wawa cup of coffee in Stamford, Connecticut. And it could be heard in other areas in the Connecticut, New York market. So very pleased to be on there. And then, you know, also we've got a couple of others, too, that are worth mentioning. And to everybody who's picked up the show, you know, totally appreciate that. But another one that I've gotten a ton of email from, and this has happened in the tail end of May, is WWMI or 1380 AM. That's in Tampa, St. Petersburg, Clearwater, Florida, those markets there. Thanks, Joe Weaver, for picking us up. And it's interesting because there, that's another place. I've got family there. I'm speaking there in September in the clearest water ever. I mean, it does make sense, right? Clearwater, Florida. And one of the best beaches I've been on is Clearwater, Florida. And the thing I like about that area is you got the Gulf. So the water is nice. I like the water on the Gulf side, especially when you go there in the, you know, in the winter. And again, thanks to everybody who's picked up the show and people that have been on board for a while. We certainly appreciate that. Like KCAA, all my pals there in, California. And I used to live in Southern California. So it's fun to hear from people who all of a sudden hear the show and say, ah, oh, you know, I heard you when I was in Cali and I just got one of those notes from my pal Eric Therwanger, who said that he heard the show. He said he landed in California and he listened on 102.3. He said I was talking about the Raptors and Flint, Michigan, the whole water thing there. And he said, have a great weekend from a loyal listener. So again, thanks for that. So let's go into the mailbag. This one is from Frank, and Frank says, Kate, I mean, the Democratic debate, if I were looking at who won, who lost, it just seems so early in this whole thing. And, I mean, listen, I am a lifelong Republican, but I will be honest, I voted for a Democrat in the past. I'm not going to tell you which one. If we met, we could play the guessing game. But I will say it's always intriguing to listen. I mean, who knows? Maybe somebody would pique my interest. I am a Republican hardcore in one area and a little bit lighter in the other, and there just seems to be no perfect way to describe how I would label myself. So I suppose I have an open mind in some areas that wouldn't necessarily line up with Republicans. But be that as it may, as I listened to what was going on and the conversation about the guns, especially what would you do with the guns if, you know, assault weapons basically were banned, but then you still had lots of weapons across the country. That question scares me because that goes to the take our guns scenario, which is a territory you don't even want to step into. And smartly, I suppose, those that want to be president on the Democratic side did not directly answer that because it could get them right in the middle of where they don't want to be. What do you think? Yeah, I think they totally avoided, especially Elizabeth Warren, who did well, but didn't say, well, yeah, I mean, we're going to have a program where people turn in their guns voluntarily, and then if we'll still try to get more guns or whatever. There was nothing about that, just kids can't fear and that whole thing that, of course, nobody wants to see kids get shot in school. So that there was kind of a dancing around of that. All right, then this one is from Harold. I haven't emailed in a while, Kate, but rest assured I'm listening. I went on vacation with my family. You saw that the Senate passed a $4.6 billion bill for the border crisis, but will they reconcile with the two chambers? I guess ultimately that is the key thing, because I heard you mention that they were going away for a week. What do you think happens? Well, they have to do it, or it's the border bill would be dead, because then it would get vetoed, I'm sure. So the gridlock that normally is there in Congress looks like, I don't know, maybe they will be able to do it. The bill doesn't talk about asylum laws or causes of migration that are obviously big, but it would pour billions into the coffers of the overwhelmed agencies that you've got Border Patrol guys that are going and buying diapers because they don't have the supplies, the water, all that stuff. I mean, buckling under the pressure of these unprecedented levels of people coming in from Central America. So, you know, you have these pictures, and what is it going to show? You have kids that are in areas where they're just so jammed in, and you have these long court dates that are far off into the future. That's what it's going to look like, because what are we doing? We're trying to figure it out, and I really feel for those Border Patrol people. So the Senate bill passes bipartisan vote, that whole thing. The House version, which was not well liked by the White House, passed on a pretty much a party line. So now they've got to come up with the two chambers, seeing if they can come up with some sort of a compromise or something, and we'll see if they can do that. Nancy Pelosi outlined a handful of changes the House Democrats wanted to see in order to support the Senate passed bill, and that included limiting the amount of time a child can spend in what they call influx facility to 90 days, and then requiring that the death of a child in a holding place be reported within 24 hours so that they could visit any facility without advance notice, too, that whole thing. So we'll see. They might be able to get it done. They might. They definitely did in the Senate, but that bill was a little bit different in the Senate. Okay, let's move on to another one. This one is from Thomas, and Thomas, too, was watching the debates. Kate, no offense to anybody who's listening that's a Democrat, but even if Trump has some weak spots, he has some very strong spots, too, and I just can't imagine with the candidates that I saw on display and I watched, out of curiosity, that any of them would be the next president. I mean, I'm being honest. I don't see any of them as president. I know people have talked about Elizabeth Warren. I don't see her in that role. I guess the closest one would maybe be Julian Castro, but would he really even get that much support from his party? What do you think? Who do you think is the candidate? Well, I'm looking into my crystal ball. Let's see. Ask again later. Right now, if you looked at polling, it would be Joe Biden, most likely. But will it be Joe Biden a year from now? Will he be the guy? Because I would think before June, you would have it whittled down to one, whoever that one person is. So I don't know. I don't think it is anyone that I saw on the stage on Wednesday night, but something may emerge that changes it. I mean, you have zingers, you have talk about the current president. If somebody stands up and just crushes it somehow in some way, who knows? Maybe that could change. But it seemed like, you know what it seemed like? It was like a Democratic debate with a conservative game plan. To me, in a way, it felt like it. I mean, of course, not conservative to talk about climate change and that. But I mean, in the sense of, we're not going out on a live wire. Because anything they say, that has to be what they're embracing with these issues, because they're out there campaigning. So then you would flip-flop. If you flip-flopped on an issue and didn't have a good reason for it, it's there for the record. Well, in the debate, you said X, Y, Z. So I didn't think that there were these great chances that were taken. There wasn't some, oh my gosh, can you believe they said that moment? That is defining. They're going to own that. That is tweetable. That is unbelievable. There was no, for all the one-liners, there was no campaign slogan. There's no, make America great again. I just went through an airport and I saw hats, make America great again. And it's just like book titles. I was talking about this today with somebody. We live in a book title world. So what's the book title? What's comes out of that that somebody grabs onto and says, oh, yeah, I didn't realize that. That works for me. And maybe I'm all wrong, but I don't think so. And who is the greatest threat? And you know what's interesting? Not the who is the greatest threat. I think the greatest possibility is it's going to be Joe Biden. But they were asked about the greatest threat. So, of course, China, nuclear weapons. Beto O'Rourke said climate change. Cory Booker said nuclear proliferation and climate change. It's interesting, I'll say that. Go to the man cave next.
Hi, this is Paul, otherwise known to the listeners as Mr. Kate Delaney. The missus has come up with an amazing solution to what plagues most of us. That nagging feeling you're meant to do something more. After more than a decade of her best interviews with world-class mentors and her own groundbreaking life experiences, Deal Your Own Destiny is finally here, presented to you by Forbes Books. Reading Kate's book is like sitting down with a trusted friend who has a lifetime of wisdom to share. Some of what you'll discover in this book includes learning how to play to your strengths, finding people who lift you up, and how to make the right moves to become extraordinary. No matter where you are on your journey, this book will give you inspiration and the tools you need to get to where you want to be, whatever that means to you. No one gets to decide the hand they're dealt in life, so become the dealer. Get Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon.com or at booksellers near you.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well equipped and custom built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Finally, there's a way for you to get into the blockchain, the hottest financial sector without all the speculation. Now, enjoy a 27% annualized payment each month without the ups and downs of Bitcoin. Seen on programs broadcast on Fox Business News, blockchain data centers offer an equipment leasing program in the explosive digital asset marketplace. Inspired by entrepreneurs who sold picks and shovels during the gold rush, the money is in the mining equipment used to manufacture dozens of critical digital assets. Not a security, IPO, or note, blockchain data centers have approved proven turnkey equipment sale leaseback program with a 27% annualized lease payment deposited into your bank account each month. Don't miss this one. Stake your claim today. Call 800-600-3388. That's 800-600-3388. These valuable lease contracts won't last long. Call now. 800-600-3388. 800-600-3388. Equipment offer poses a financial risk to owners. Consult with financial professionals before purchasing. Not an offer to buy or sell a security which requires an offering document.
Buy now. Now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Blockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. BlockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at BlockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. BlockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Definitely in the man cave. Boom, I kicked open the door. And so all the chips are gone. Boy, chip hogs. You know what they call that? When somebody mows down the chips, you are a wood chipper. Because you just keep eating the Doritos, the potato chips, whatever it is. You inhale them, inhale them, inhale them. You are a wood chipper if you do that. Purposely, because that would be my weakness, I move them out of the way. So that I don't do the wood chipping thing. But somebody already beat me to the punch in here. I had things to talk about when it comes to sports because, yeah, you know, there was some watching of the debate, I'm certain of it, but we certainly have covered that. The winners, the losers, what did it look like? Beto O'Rourke, not so good, my friends. And I would say Julian Castro, perhaps the strongest, maybe Elizabeth Warren, I don't know. To me, I don't think any of them become president. I don't think so. I don't think that any of them are the one. We'll see what happens on the next row of Democrats that come up on Thursday night and who goes up against the incumbent president. Like I say, that's always a strong thing when you ride the wave, depending on what's happening, because our last three presidents have all had two terms. This is a big debate in baseball, and it has nothing to do with politics. It has to do with politics of netting and foul balls. A two-year-old girl hit by a foul ball last month in a game, a Houston Astros game, suffered a skull fracture and had a seizure. That's what a lawyer for the family said in a statement that was released on Wednesday. It's the first time the family's released any info about the condition. It happened again in Houston, Minute Maid Park. She was sitting on a relative's lap along the third base line when she was hit by the foul ball. So she had subdural bleeding, bruising, swelling. Oh, so, so sad. Had a seizure while she was hospitalized. Put on medication to assist the recovery. She's home. She's going to be reassessed in July. Of course, they're worried about her health. It's one of those wait-and-see things. And last season, all 30 Major League Baseball teams expanded their protective netting to at least the far ends of the dugouts. The Chicago White Sox, the Nationals, have already said that they're going to extend the netting to the left and right field foul poles. They don't care. It's going to go all the way around, just like they do in Japan, because of all these people that are getting hit by the foul balls. So on the third base side at Minute Maid Park, netting goes to the end of the visiting team's dugout in Section 112. The girl and her family were sitting a few seats up from the field in Section 111, just past the end of the netting. Oh, such a sad thing. And, you know, no amount of money when you talk about health and a kid can really ease that pain, that burden, that shock, that, you know, whole thing. I think they should just extend the netting. Does it make a difference? Because now, you know, have the netting all the way across, sit higher. Whatever. I get it, and it's, we live in a different world. When I was a really young kid, in fact, in my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, thank you, a lot of you have bought it, you can get it on Amazon, I talk about the fact that I knew I was swimming in a different direction than everybody else because I had the permission of my father. And I talk about going to a baseball game at Mets Stadium, and I was five. And it was a giant crowd. You're a little girl, huge crowd. And I was rooting for the opposition, and I could see some people didn't like that. And I started to cry, and he told me, well, you can cheer whoever you want to cheer for. And I just talk about dealing your own destiny and going the different road. But that's neither here nor there. When I went to a ball game then, and when I was a kid and we went to ball games, you had your glove, you were focusing on the game. We didn't have phones. We weren't doing Game Boy. We weren't running around distracted in a zillion different ways. It was really, the focus was there. Even if you were talking, you didn't have very many people. It's not that nobody was ever hit, but you didn't have very many people that were hit by foul balls like that. In fact, mostly you'd have people diving in front of you because they wanted to catch the foul ball. I want to say hats off to Bob Ley. He announced his retirement after 40 years at ESPN. He definitely was an iconic sports broadcaster. I watched so much of his work. I had a chance to meet him just one time, and he was very gracious. We had a quick little conversation. It's not about that. He did a show that I thought was really good. It was called Outside the Lines, where they went deeper, and they looked at steroids, and they looked at all kinds of different issues. And he was so, so good at that. It was like almost documentary. It was documentary style in so many ways. And here's a guy that joined the network right after it was found, 2 days after it was founded, 1979. So 64 years old, four decades. He's done all kinds of things. He decided it was time to retire, and he used one of my lines. He said, I'll catch you on the flip side. So that's what he tweeted. He tweeted that out, and that's it for him. He's done very, very, very good at his job. I think that's a loss. You know, there's new things that are happening at those networks, etc., but he was very, very good. So we go into further to be talking about conversations about a child getting hit by a baseball, the situation of a retirement of an iconic broadcaster. And then how about this? I saw this story, too. It was on HBO Real Sports. Don Nelson, Nelly, who was the coach of several teams, including the Golden State Warriors on a hot run with them, but also, lastly, the Dallas Mavericks. In the story that was done, he hangs out with Willie Nelson. He plays poker with him in his retirement, and he's got this giant marijuana farm in Hawaii, in Maui. It's funny to see old footage of him where he has short hair and he's so intense. Now he has long hair. He's got a beard. He just wasn't even recognizable in a sense. And his marijuana is called Nelly Kush, and he only uses it for his personal use. He has permission to use marijuana for medical reasons. And he said he smokes pot every day. Willie Nelson said his pot is better than Nelly's pot is better than his pot. So it was actually a really good piece. Talked about his life now, talked about his daughter he didn't know he had, the funny stories about the poker games and how his man cave was set up. And just seeing the contrast of what he used to be versus what he's doing now was so interesting, I think. And, you know, good for him for peeling back the layer and showing everybody what he does now and what his life is like. Definitely different than when he was almost like a raging bull up and down the court. Looked like he was, you know, two steps away from a heart attack. Seriously. That's what it was like. Because he was so intense. Unbelievably intense. The U.S. women's team at the World Cup soccer in France. There's been some back and forth that's happened. So a little bit of politics. And Donald Trump unleashed a rambling tweet storm against co-captain Megan Rapinoe Wednesday morning, just 2 days after he was asked in an interview with The Hill, which is a political website, of her choice to stand at attention with her hands clasped behind her and not sing the national anthem during the World Cup is appropriate. And he said, no, I don't think so. So now the whole anthem, the country thing came up because of that, because of his answer. And she knelt during the national anthem 3 years ago because she was in solidarity with Colin Kaepernick, who has spoken about the issues facing the country, da da da. So I think this is the carryover to this. He did say, the president did, that he loved watching women's soccer. They're talented. I think a lot has to do with the economics. I mean, who draws more? Where is the money coming in? I know when you have the great stars, talking about the men, they get paid a lot of money, but they draw hundreds of thousands of people. Said he hadn't taken a position on the whole money and quality of that with women and the men in soccer, but he was a big fan of the women. We'll see if they win the World Cup. All right, we're closing the door. I got to go get chips somewhere. Thanks so much for listening to this hour of the show, everybody.
This is Paul, otherwise known to the listeners as Mr. Kate Delaney. The missus has come up with an amazing solution to what plagues most of us. That nagging feeling you're meant to do something more. After more than a decade of her best interviews with world-class mentors and her own groundbreaking life experiences, Deal Your Own Destiny is finally here, presented to you by Forbes Books. Reading Kate's book is like sitting down with a trusted friend who has a lifetime of wisdom to share. Some of what you'll discover in this book includes learning how to play to your strengths, finding people who lift you up, and how to make the right moves to become extraordinary. No matter where you are on your journey, this book will give you inspiration and the tools you need to get to where you want to be, whatever that means to you. No one gets to decide the hand they're dealt in life, so become the dealer. Get Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon.com or at booksellers near you.